You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 327, our preview for Nevada visiting Notre Dame. We're going to be going through the different position groups, including a player on Notre Dame's team at each position group, like we did last week, a player that we're excited about, looking for, and what we're specifically, what we're looking for. And
I was going to mention right away, even though Ruben says Nevada and I say Nevada, we're talking about the same team. So
I heard that's what locals call it, Nevada.
I see. So you're calling yourself a local now?
No, but I like to call things the way they're meant to be called.
Okay.
Brian Kelly had a press conference where he talked a little bit about the last week's game against Texas. We might cover a few of those points as we're going through each of the different position groups. And then we're going to give our keys for the game for both teams, what Nevada's solution is, what their key is, and then same for Notre Dame as well. So, Randall, I guess before we jump right in, you're back. You were on the podcast last night, but you were on the phone. You weren't here. Tell us a little bit about your weekend.
Well, I was recording on the way home from Chicago last night, but the one thing I forgot to mention on the podcast was that I was flying. My second flight was from Dallas to Chicago, and there was an old couple on the plane, and we were waiting to get off, and they were talking. They were like, "You know, you look like somebody," and I was like, "Okay." And they're talking to each other. I was like, "Oh, he looks like Colt McCoy." And then the lady looked at me and was like, "Are you wearing that hat for disguise?"
What hat were you wearing?
That's kind of what threw her off, because I had our Irish Sports Talk hat on. So I should have played along. I guess I could have told them I'm on my way out to Washington to play with the Redskins this weekend, but I refrained from doing that and said, no, I'm not. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but I guess as far as the looks might be a bad thing, but I'm sure he's built like an NFL player. So, hey, I'll take a compliment like that. But it was funny to me, because Texas fans love their Colt McCoy. They're still diehard Colt fans. And whenever, even at the game this weekend, whenever he was mentioned, it was the fans got all excited. So maybe Bouchel will kind of take his place in history. And also at the game, they had a thing at halftime for the 2006 championship team. So they had, so Vince Young and a bunch of the teammates were actually there. And Coach Brown. Not Brown.
Mac Brown.
Mac Brown was there. I was kind of surprised. He tried to get the crowd fired up, but even though the bitter ending he had there at Texas, he was still there.
He's still loved.
Seemed excited to be there, and seemed like he was loved. So, anyways, on to Nevada.
Just to get a few things out of the way, the players that were arrested for marijuana, they played against Texas, and Kelly said that they'll continue to be available until the university makes a decision. So until something happens, until there's a decision, I guess just keep on assuming they'll play. Hopefully they'll wait until after the season and have some off-season discipline for them.
I was going to say, you think that discipline will show up right before USC or Stanford?
Probably, right after they're solidified as either starters or backups.
No, well, let's not jinx then. So
I did think it was funny. The TV guys said that they were talking with Kizer, or somehow it came up that Kizer told the team, hey, something about be careful what you do in regards to the players that were arrested. And he said, just don't break any Indiana laws.
Exactly.
Anyway, Brian Kelly was also asked a question about tempo, and he said that that wasn't the problem. And it definitely was a problem, especially there was a few plays where the defense was not set up. And we did talk about this a little bit. I promise we won't talk a lot about Texas, but on in regulation down towards the goal line, they I believe it was after a big play, and the Notre Dame players were just pretty much standing and looking, waiting for the call. They weren't even set up. They weren't ready when Texas snapped the ball and ran it in for a touchdown. And then, I believe it was before that, the long pass completed against the guy that Crawford was covering, where Drew Tranquil was off to the sideline. He was supposed to have coverage behind Crawford. And again, on that play as well, Texas, they ran up, snapped the ball, and it definitely looked like tempo was a big problem, was a big factor. But anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was just getting players on and off the field, and they need to have something in play as far as, you know, their base defense that they can use in those situations that, hey, if nothing else, line up like this and go
and,
for it.
And run this base play.
Yeah.
So, Nevada. They beat the Cal Poly Mustangs in overtime. They're led by their quarterback, Tyler Stewart, who passed for 189 yards, had two touchdowns, no interceptions. They are led by a rushing backfield of James Butler, who had 21 carries, 123 yards, and two touchdowns, and Tyler Stewart, who had 8 carries for 31 yards. And then as far as their receiving crew, they really did spread the ball around a lot. They had, let me count here real quick, 5 players who caught 2 or more passes, and a total of 9 guys who caught passes in their opening game. And so they really do spread the ball around a lot. Jericho Richardson had 4 catches for 43 yards and 1 touchdown. And then their receiver with the most yards was Andrew Sells with 2 catches for 47 yards. But they are primarily a running team. In their pass game, they had 34 running plays, 24 passing plays. Although they are well balanced on first downs, they're pretty much 50-50 with running and passing. So it's not, even though they do heavily run, they still try to stay balanced on first down.
I know that's one of the things they're trying to work on, is have a more balanced attack than what they have had in the last couple years. Last year they had 2 1,000-yard rushers on the team and ran the ball a lot. But they're trying to get back to scoring 30-plus points a game, which they had for years. I mean, they had quite the offense for quite a few years until, I would say, I think it's the last 3 years it's kind of dropped off each year. And this year they have a new offensive coordinator, and he's actually was an assistant coach for Chip Kelly. It wasn't at Oregon, but he did help him coach. Let's see. Tim Kramsey is his name, and they coached together in New Hampshire. And then, so that's kind of, he helped kind of design Chip Kelly's offense. I mean, he helped get, you know, what we saw from Oregon is what Chip Kelly had been working on, and at Oregon, he finally had the players to do that, but this is a guy that helped him. So they're hoping that Tim Kramsey can kind of help the offense get back to scoring 30-plus points a game. And the bad thing about that, when you talk about him, is that a Chip Kelly offense is an up-tempo offense, and which is a very scary idea for Notre Dame fans right now, but Nevada's not at that point.
No, definitely not. They are coached by Brian Polian, their head coach, and he gave some solace to Notre Dame fans in his press conference talking about Notre Dame. He said, the sky is probably falling, or the sky is on fire for Notre Dame fans right now after losing. But he said, Brian Van Gorder is a really good coach.
And I did listen to some of his press conference, and it seemed like he spent half of it trying to convince the media and everyone that was listening that this was a good, that they won. This was a good thing. We still won. Even though it was a bad game, we won the game. And he kept saying it over and over and over. And he even mentioned that the media looks just as down as what the players did. And he said, I'm trying to tell you, we won the game. You know, it wasn't how they would wanted to do it, but it was against a triple option team. Cal Poly is a triple option team, so it was obviously a different look than what they're used to. I mean, we know how it is for, as a Notre Dame fan, to go against Navy. He even mentioned that in his press conference, that this was like going against, this is like Notre Dame going against Navy. I mean, it's the same idea. it's hard to defend. It's something different, and it's not always it looks ugly sometimes. But they did get the win, and the good news is that a lot of time when Notre Dame plays a triple option, they have a down week the next week. Just trying to transition back to normal offense, and Nevada's still hasn't played a normal offense this season. That was their first game, so that's definitely in Notre Dame's favor.
They did start out hot. The game did end in overtime for Nevada, but they scored touchdowns on three of their first four possessions. Marched down and scored touchdowns. And then they didn't score in the second half until overtime. As far as defense, Brian Kelly did say they do use a lot of different formations. I believe he said that in their scouting, they've seen up to 18 different formations, and they're very creative in the way they group or use their personnel in different formations. So, there's definitely potential for Notre Dame players to be confused, to not know what they're seeing. So that's a slight concern.
Well, I watched part of Nevada's game that then got kind of bored, but actually I didn't have time to watch the rest of it. But even the short period of time I watched, they had a bunch of different formations. Sometimes two running backs out there. Sometimes they'll have no running back, have multiple receivers. And a lot of times it's out of the pistol formation, which Nevada is known for that. That's where the pistol formation, it comes from Nevada. It might not actually come from there, but Nevada is the pistol formation. So definitely a lot of different looks. The multi running backs out there, sometimes you use two tight ends as well. So it'll be a good test for Notre Dame in run defense. They have good running back. They have multiple running backs on the team that will play. So it's not just like they have a 1-2 punch. They got multiple guys that can run the ball. And they have experience. They have 16 returning starters on the team, which includes quarterback and the running back and the receivers. So right there you have a lot of experience, and that's always a positive thing.
Let's talk a little bit just overall. Do you expect Notre Dame to be playing more four-down linemen?
I would hope so. Yes, actually I do. I do think
that... Frankly, I did say it was specific to Texas.
Well, let's hope so.
But I will be curious to see that initial drive, what kind of front the defense comes out in. All right, we're going to go through each of Notre Dame's different position groups and talk, and a player we're watching for. We'll talk about some roster or some depth chart changes. But before we do that, let's just talk about keys for the game for Nevada, for Notre Dame. Obviously, Nevada is greatly overmatched. The line in this game is at 28 points, which is way more than I think it should be.
Well, let's hope they're right again this week. Last week it was at 4, and we didn't expect it. We expect to be a lot more than that, so let's hope they got it right this week as well.
Well, and the matchup predictor on ESPN does have Notre Dame 95% chance winning, and last week Texas was favored by a few percentage points. So I do take a little bit of comfort and security in that number.
It'll be interesting to see how the Notre Dame team responds. I mean, that's a huge thing coming off of a loss like that. Hopefully, which I expect it to be, I expect them to come out with a chip on their shoulder and to prove something. And I'm hoping it lights a fire under the coaches as well. Like, let's not have any of these close games. Let's try to run up the score. I don't care. Let's have, let's score as many points as possible. Let's not have these close games that Notre Dame is famous for, which usually it turns out being like that. But if at all possible, run up the score and get some dominating wins under your belt. Make it look good.
I think that Nevada will come out and have some success. But one positive thing for us is that the guys who are starting now will be preparing as starters. There's just a few position changes. But those guys are now the starters. They'll have a week. They have one fewer days. And actually, Nevada had one extra day to prepare than one more day than normal. They played on Friday, but I do think that that they're going to come out and probably move the ball down the field in the first half. But I do think that by the second half rolls around, I do think Notre Dame will have it figured out and they'll be settled in. And I do think Nevada will do their best to be more balanced, like we talked about. They did run heavy against Cal Poly, but they need to be balanced to be able to score on Notre Dame. Offensively, I think Notre Dame, I mean, we kind of know how their offense looks. A lot of three wide, a little bit of double tight end. And I expect Notre Dame to run it, but I also expect them just to take what the defense gives them. So if they stack up against the run, I expect some passes, and I do think Notre Dame will be able to score pretty easily against this Nevada team. I do definitely hope to see, and I expect to see, a more dominating running attack, more push, and I was pretty happy overall. I know you were more down on Notre Dame's offensive line, but I do expect to see more of a push from our offensive line, and Brian Kelly did say that he was generally pleased with the right side, which is the more inexperienced side of the line, and he was a little disappointed in the left side. So hopefully that puts some extra motivation in McGlinchey, and we'll see some more results.
With that comment, I wonder if they were held to the same level of standard.
No.
I agree with you. I don't think they were, but just from what we know, I don't think they were at all.
All right, as we go through each of the position groups now, we'll talk about a player we're watching for and then just maybe a little bit of scheme things we're looking for. So on offense, let's start with that. At the quarterback, Brian Kelly, I didn't understand him in his press conference. He was asked if they've chosen a starter, and they said no. They haven't had a conversation with the quarterbacks. A decision hasn't been made. And then a follow-up question was if they'll make a decision, and they said, yeah, we'll make it later this week. But at first, it sounded like, again, they weren't going to make a decision until, or at least it wouldn't be known until game day or game time. And so I just kind of thought it was funny. But I guess they will be making a decision sometime during the week. I mean, it's clearly going to be Kaiser. But I still expect to see Zaire for a couple drives. I expect to see Zaire even before the game's out of reach, even before Notre Dame's up by 28 points.
I sure hope so. This it's starting to look like...
Wait, you do hope that we see Zaire?
No, that Kaiser comes out as the starter and maybe, you know, bring Zaire in for a couple plays. I don't want to see a whole drive of Zaire at this point.
That's still what I expect. I agree with you, but I expect to see him out there.
Right now, this situation looks like Brian Kelly's out sitting in his car trying to build up the nerve to walk up to the door to tell Zaire that he's not going to be the starter. I mean,
I think the handwriting is on the wall for
okay, you had the Zaire argument that Zaire maybe didn't have that chance to get in the flow of the game. Let's see what he could do, you know, for an entire half. But how can you... Kaiser went out there, and the numbers he put up in without even playing all the offensive drives, he looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I mean, look at his numbers. I mean, he had 6 touchdowns, and there was a couple drives that he didn't even play.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know. He has more experience. He can do so much more. It's just, you got to make the decision and go with it, in my opinion. I think it costs Notre Dame. I think that's one of the big reasons it cost the game for Notre Dame. It started out with that quarterback decision.
See, okay, everything should be analyzed, and every person who deserves blame should take responsibility for it, even if it's just a little bit. But if we have two windows, the one window is of the offense and the one window is of the defense, the offensive window has a little bit of a smudge on it. And it just takes a little bit of elbow grease to get that done. The defensive window is pretty much dripping in mud. It looks like someone's just been tossing mud balls at it. And so while I do agree that...
Well, you got to start by cleaning the one window so that you can start on the next one.
Because the game was so close, I agree with you that it definitely could have made a difference. It definitely could have. But there's still a lot more blame on the other side of the ball.
I'm not trying to take away any of the blame from the defense. There's a lot of issues on the defense. But things do look different if you're not playing from behind. If your defense is not forced to try to stop an offense that's playing with a 3-score lead.
At quarterback, I'm sure we will see Zaire. I'm curious, are they going to bring him in and again run the same offense, or are they going to have a few special plays for him that are very much catered to his specific skills?
Well,
and what, I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what I'm watching for.
What's getting harder and harder to have Zaire in the game is Kaiser can run the ball when he needs to. He can do a good job at it. And he's a passing threat. So it's that much easier for him to run the ball because the defense doesn't know what he's going to do. Zaire, you know he's going to run the ball, and he is not a Tyrone Swoops from Texas that will just run you over and get the touchdown. He's not that big. He's not that type of player. So it's kind of hard. It's getting harder to put Zaire into those certain plays. I mean, it's getting harder to find things that Zaire can do that Kaiser can't.
All right, let's move over to the wide receiver group. As far as Torrey Hunter, he was concussed, and he's going through the typical protocol. Kelly said that would be a game-time decision. I am leaning towards I don't think we'll see him on Saturday, and there shouldn't be a reason that he needs to play.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a good game to get the younger receivers some playing time, some experience. I'll throw it in there that hit. I was a little disappointed. Well, obviously I'm not a Texas fan, so I don't really care. But the players were tweeting out some pictures that hit, and the one guy was kind of shrugging, and it was the running back. Warren was like, something about this look when you know you got away with targeting and the refs didn't call it. And the safety that actually hit Hunter, his profile picture on his Twitter account is a picture of him celebrating with Torrey Hunter laying on the ground in the background.
Serious?
Yes. So it...
We don't swear on this podcast, but you can swear as you're listening to this.
Even the Texas fan, when that happened, when anybody's injured, they all raise their hand and do the longhorn, the two-finger, and they hold it like that until the player gets up and walks the field. Even the fan, I mean, obviously somebody gets hurt. It doesn't matter what team you're on. I just think it's very unprofessional to be doing something like that.
I agree.
But anyways, I don't know. They don't need him on Saturday, but at the same time, if he's cleared, I don't know. It's a concussion. I don't know why you would necessarily hold him out. It's not like he has a sprained ankle where he could possibly make it worse. Here he's just recovering. If he's cleared, he's cleared. It's not like it's going to make it worse by playing.
And EQ, if Torrey Hunter doesn't play, EQ will not move over to the X position. He is going to be staying at the W. And looks like Corey Holmes will get a shot, Stefferson, and also McKinley. Now, Stefferson did play and did come in for Torrey Hunter then. And so even though we saw Corey Holmes earlier in the game, I don't know. I expect to see Stefferson there first and probably a little dose of Corey Holmes there. And lastly, McKinley, unless he really, really shines this week.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
So players I'm watching for, I'm assuming Torrey Hunter is not going to play. So I'm going to be – EQ answered a lot of questions. I love his confidence.
That somersault that he did was impressive.
So I expect great things from him. I know he's only a sophomore, has hardly played football at the college level, and so I'm definitely very curious to watch how this goes. But I'm going to be watching Stefferson, another young guy. Really, I think he has a lot of talent and potential, but I'm just curious to see, is he able to make a move, make an impact. Assuming he might be the number one X receiver out there.
Well, I think with EQ now has some confidence. He now has those, you know, that first touchdown out of the way. He has a confidence. He knows he can do it. And so I think he'll do that again. The player I want to be watching is C.J. Sanders, actually, at the slot, because I think they need to keep feeding him the ball. I mean, he's a dynamic player. He can make plays out of what looks like nothing, and I want to see him do some more of that.
All right, and then anybody you're watching from the offensive line?
Yeah, I want to see if McGovern can do a better job than what he did this last game. I expect him to against Nevada. Nevada has a new defensive line. I think the nose tackle might be the one guy that's coming back. The rest are all first-time starters or first-year starters. So I expect him to do much better, and I'll definitely watch McGovern, see how he responds.
All right, I don't have anyone from the O-line. Then at running back, last week I was watching Folston. You know, is he the guy that we really didn't get to see last year? We only saw him for a few plays. And he honestly, I thought he looked solid, consistent, but I did not think that he was as explosive as he was as a sophomore.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Folston too, because I want to see if that's how he normally played, or if he was actually slowed down with cramps or whatever. I want to see if, you know, Brian Kelly mentioned he was slow. It seemed like he was playing slower than everybody expected. So I want to see if there was actually something to that, or if that is the norm. I'm sure some of our listeners, Irish Don, will probably tell me it's the norm. So.
Well, that's what my hunch has been this entire offseason.
I'm not convinced yet.
Then at tight end, we saw there was two passes thrown at tight ends at Durham Smythe. He caught the one, and the other one was deflected. And so I'm going to go with Wisher again. I didn't see a whole lot of him. I know he was out there a few times, but I didn't get to see a whole lot of him. I'm hoping that this game will give some opportunity to see him as a blocker and as a pass catcher.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching Smythe in this game. Do you have one catch last week?
He had one catch, but he was thrown to twice.
Yeah, the second time was kind of forced him. He had his double coverage. I just want to see if he can put up better numbers.
All right, let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. And here we have some other shakeups. And I didn't actually get an official word on Avery Sebastian, but let's start with safety. He's also suffering concussions. Is that right?
Sebastian?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure on that. I didn't hear anything, but could be.
Because, I mean, he did go out. Okay, I guess we're not sure what his status is then.
No, he's playing.
Okay.
He's good to go. He is listed as the backup, though,
to Drew Tranquil.
Yes.
So there's one switch. Drew Tranquil is still listed as a starter, but on the other side, we have Devin Studd still. And I guess I'm going to be watching Drew Tranquil. He made a few mistakes, and he was taken out in the second half. This isn't nearly as athletic of a team, so if he does make a mistake, it's probably not going to be as noticeable. But just watching, is he biting on play action? But then at the same time, is he there to help in run support? So I'm going to be keeping an eye on him.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Drew Tranquil as well, because I think a little bit of his problem at the safety position, I'm not saying he'd be playing, you know, maybe a linebacker position, but at the safety position, he's not quite athletic enough. And so it's kind of like it was for Joe Schmidt. He can't make any mistakes, because if he does, it's hard for him to recover from it. So that's why it's so critical for him to have everything perfect, ready to go, because if he's lined up, you know, if he's too far one direction or the other, he won't be able to get there in time. So he's got to be lined up in the exact position he needs to be in, so he doesn't have that margin of error that maybe some of the other players would have. So I want to see how he responds to, I guess you could say he got benched in the second half of last week's game. See how he responds to that. And, yeah. basically it.
All right, and then at cornerback, the Sean Crawford is now the other cornerback. So at nickel, in the game, we saw Nick Coleman get taken out, and then Crawford was moved over to corner, and then Julian Love came in as that nickel. So on the depth chart that I saw released for this week, I didn't see they had a position for nickel. And so I'm assuming that's what it's going to stay. I do know that Crawford is going to be the cornerback and someone else is going to cover nickel. I'm just assuming that it's Julian Love. But player I'm going to be watching for is one of the guys who got the highest grade from Pro Football Focus, and that is Cole Luke. He did give up that touchdown pass, but there's not a whole lot you can do on a pass like that. He was tightly covered. And so I'm just gonna be watching. Does he continue to lock down the receiver that he's covering? And he also had a great play in the backfield as well against Texas. So very productive, and just want to see if he continues to keep that up.
I'm gonna go with Sean Crawford just because you can't help but watch Sean Crawford. I think he's a star in the making. I mean, he's already done some incredible stuff, and I think he's just going to keep doing it, and it's going to be hard not to watch, see what he does. I mean, he's a very dynamic player, and I expect him to do it again this week.
Okay, at linebacker, against Texas, we saw the 3-3-5, and we saw James Onuwalo rushing right beside the outside edge and often rushing the quarterback or the running back. I don't know if they're going to use him that way this week. Brian Kelly did say that both James Onuwalo and Niles Morgan did grade out positive, and he didn't mention Greer Martini in there. And so there isn't any change as far as the depth chart that we've seen, but I am going to be watching Greer Martini again. I was watching him last week too, but watching him, and I don't think he's the answer there. Athletically, I don't think he's the answer. And it just seemed like I didn't see the effort from him when he was on blocks that I really, really want to see. And I'm maybe cherry picking a few plays that I'm thinking about. I probably am not remembering all the plays where he was giving lots of effort and doing a great job. So maybe this is a little unfair, but I do think that we'd get, there's some better athletic options out there in Tavon Coney and Asmer Bilal.
I'm going to go with Tavon Coney because I'm hoping he'll get quite a bit more playing time this week. So I'll be watching to see when he gets onto the field.
All right, and then from the defensive line, and these guys did grade out as a group pretty well by Pro Football Focus. And guy I'm going to be watching is Isaac Rochelle. I just want to see what success Nevada has running to his side. And he was a stud against Texas. So I'm just going to be watching for more of the same. And he was a guy that was playing hard every snap he was out there.
Yeah, I guess I'm going more for the players that I want to see out on the field this week. But I want to be watching for Jay Hayes. I want to see him play. My gut feeling is that he was hurt. His injury was a little bit worse than what we thought it was, and that's maybe why part of the reason he didn't play at Texas. And hopefully he's good to go and can get in some work against Nevada before they get to Michigan State. So I'll be watching Jay Hayes and see if they can come up with an answer for the other defensive end position.
It probably doesn't matter against Nevada, but against Michigan State, I think it's... he's maybe one of the most important players, or one of the most, I don't know how to say it, but we need him against Michigan State, I think, in a major way. So yeah, it would be great if he can come back against Nevada and get a couple reps and then be ready for Michigan State.
Maybe even get Dalen Hayes his reps just to prepare him for, I mean, because if we got to have a rotation there, I'm fine with that. It's just something's got to happen. They got to play better than what Trombetti did.
Trombetti,
and he wasn't in there all the time.
No, but and he remember, we thought he looked great against Ohio State rushing the passer, but if it's a running play going his direction, he's just swallowed up.
Maybe we should have sent him a box full of steaks. Bulk him up a little bit. But at least get a rotation at that position. Something. Anything will help. So.
All right. On special teams, we didn't talk about this on the previous podcast, but it was disappointing. Our punting team was pretty disappointing. And Brian Kelly did say that when they went back and rewatched it, that the time, or not the timing, but just the speed of Newsom going through his kick, it was sped up, I believe he said, by 0.2 seconds, that it was just a little bit faster than normal. He was rushing it, not taking his time, he wasn't relaxed and just doing a solid job. I do think being back in Notre Dame Stadium, he's got the ability. I think he was probably just, the lights were bright and a little bit razzled.
Well, I think it was he heard footsteps, because from watching the game live, it looked like Texas actually blocked that punt against, or tipped it or something when he shanked it. I mean, it was so close, it looked like they got a hold of it. And I'm sure he rushed that one, and I think he heard footsteps after that.
Probably. All right, any player from special teams that you're going to be watching, Randall?
I'll go with Justin Yoon, just because he did great last week, but just from hearing stuff from fall camp, you know, how he was missing field goals. I sit close to the edge of my seat every time he kicks the football than what I did last year.
And his first one was blocked.
Yeah, so I'll be watching to see what he does. I think he'll be fine. It's just I don't quite have the confidence I did last year at the end of the year.
All right, and we will continue to do our contest, picking the score prediction. And I think we know who the winner is. We didn't go through and verify it yet. There's one fan out there who always picks Notre Dame to lose, just in hopes that he can get free coffee. So.
And basically, he wanted to, the score wasn't that close, but he predicted a loss. And so maybe we should mention his name so you can direct your anger towards him.
Yeah, you can start trolling him on Twitter. But either way, our score predictions, the line is at 28 points. My score prediction for this game, I do not pick Notre Dame to cover the spread in this game, but I do think they'll score a lot of points. I do think it'll be 38-25.
Wow. I'm still, despite the loss last week, I'm still going Notre Dame 41. Nevada, I'm going to say 17.
All right. And then once it gets to game day, we'll send out a tweet and you can give in your score prediction. And if you win, you will get a free pound of coffee from local coffee roaster, Main Street Coffee Shop. They're located in Napanee, Indiana. And they do have a website, mainstreetroasters.com. You can check it out and order your coffee. If you get some free coffee and you'd like some more, just go ahead and check out their website, mainstreetroasters.com. All right, anything else, Randall, before we... Oh, there was some other news we just wanted to discuss. Manti Te'o was named captain in San Diego. And was there anything else from just general Notre Dame news that we were going to cover?
Not really. Should mention the one thing, maybe a good discussion for the forum, but we were just talking before the podcast. You know, how would this defense look with the 2012 defensive line? If Brian Van Gorder had those players in this defense, how do you think it would look?
See, actually, let's talk about this a little bit. We were talking about this before the podcast was started, and we were kind of just, you know, what is the issue with the defense? I mean, it's kind of been this way for over a season now. And I think one of the big differences, there's two things. In Brian Van Gorder's defense, I think it was much more sit back, let the play develop in front of you, don't let anyone get behind you, and you have time, you can see what's happening, you can react and prevent a big play from happening. Whereas Brandon Gordon's is much more make something happen. And sometimes the offense gets behind you. However, I think either one can work, but one thing that we did have in Brian Diakko's 2012 team was a few disruptive players, especially on the defensive line. Tua, Capron Lewis-Moore, you had guys there that were disruptive, and I think Rochelle is really close to that, but he's still not to that level. I mean, he's the closest that we've got, and maybe Jaron Jones could be that close, but just he's not doing it so far. I think that is the difference between a defense that holds teams to under 20 points per game or teams that gives up over 30 points per game. It's just having a few players that can be disruptive, and ideally they have to be close to the line of scrimmage to really be disruptive.
The one thing I would point out, I think that this defense relies too much. It's individual play. Basically, if one guy messes up, everything breaks down. There's so much pressure on each individual. And, I mean, you see that, like, when Drew Tranquil's out of position, I mean, there's a huge gain just because one guy, there's almost no help there. So there's a lot more one-on-one. And then I think the other thing is the defensive line just not getting pressure. Because, like you mentioned, you know, some of the Diak 2012, you were getting pressure on the quarterback with the three linemen that you had. And Notre Dame doesn't have that. That's what they keep in each recruiting cycle. We cannot get that pass rusher.
And to be fair, maybe we have him in Daylon Hayes. But, I mean, he's still a freshman and we just don't know yet. But he's one guy that he could be one of those guys.
Well, and I think if you get pressure on the quarterback, it would make it so much easier for the defensive backs. It's kind of how I look at the offense. If they can do their job and keep from getting behind, it makes it easier for the defense because everything changes. And I think that's how it is. If they could get pressure on the quarterback, everything else kind of changes. It makes it just a little bit easier. And I think that little bit could make a huge difference in this defense.
There's very few.
It's all about that little bit, that those minute details. It doesn't take much for the defensive play to break down.
Yeah, and there's very few coverage sacks that happen. I mean, when it does happen, the announcers say, oh, that was definitely a coverage sack. I mean, it doesn't happen very often that it's a coverage sack. I lost my train of thought, but I was going to go into something else.
And the other thing with that, now that we know that Manti Te'o is a NFL captain, even Ian Williams is playing with the 49ers now. I mean, these guys, if you look at some of the players, there's always that what if, you know, you had these players and this player, but it would just be interesting to see if we had that defensive line.
What I was going to say is I don't think we're as far away from having a great season as I did after the Texas loss. I mean, it is true. Yeah. As far as the other teams gave up a lot of points too. I mean, Notre Dame gave up 37 points in regulation. Oklahoma gave up 33 points. Florida State gave up 30-some and Mississippi State gave up 40-some. I'm just saying... Well, it does seem like things are falling apart and this season is lost because it'll be very difficult at this point to get to the playoff, which is what our goal is every year. But I still think that there is a chance. If Notre Dame can get more consistent play, if they can tackle better, they have as much talent as Michigan State and Stanford. And USC, they obviously have some issues to work. They have some problems too.
And the one thing I thought of today, trying to find the positives in that loss, that look at how many points he gave up. Go back and look how many they gave up in regulation. If you want to compare it with everybody else, Notre Dame gave up 37 points in regulation. That's not 50. The numbers are different because it was double overtime, two touchdowns. So it brings it... it doesn't look quite as bad when you look at it like that. It's still a lot of points. I'm not gonna argue that. It's still too many points. But I don't think the wheels have fallen off the wagon just yet.
And this will be interesting because in our over and under prediction podcast, we talked about how many points our defense will give up over the course of a season. And I think the line was at 21 or 2, somewhere there.
Yeah.
And so
I went with under.
I think I went with over. Anyway.
Hey, I still think they can make the changes. It's just if they are going to or not.
All right, it'll be interesting to see. We do have our opponents podcast coming up where we look at each of Notre Dame's opponents, this past week results, and this upcoming week, who they're going to be playing. That'll be out Thursday evening. And I think that pretty much wraps it up. If you do have questions or want to join the conversation, head on over to the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. We do have a handful of faithful guys over there, and it's fun to discuss ideas and just have a Notre Dame-based discussion. And definitely follow us on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk. All right, until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.